Good morning to each one of you. Greet each of you in Jesus' name this morning. I too count it a privilege to be here again in the house of God and to be worshiping together with fellow believers, other people that I think are striving for the goal and endeavoring to live a life that is can be counted worthy before Christ. The message I have decided to bring this morning is a message that I've received from some inspiration recently here, some reading I had done, some stories I had come across. And you know, in our Christian life, it can be pretty easy to compare, or maybe I shouldn't say pretty easy. There are many comparisons we can make between our Christian life and the world and their sports that they play, and I think it's right to do so. Even Paul did that in the Old Testament or the New Testament. There, he compared the Christian life to the games that were played. And while he did that, and while I'm going to do that just a little bit here this morning, it does not condone the overall actions of the people that are playing the games. But yet, there can be, I think, a lot of parallel points that can be brought out. That we can apply to our lives and especially to our Christian life. So there was a very well-known sports player, and most of you will probably recognize the name of Michael Jordan. He was a very popular basketball player. He was an all-star player for the Chicago Bulls. And Jordan played in the NBA from 1984 to 2003. And the stories are told about Michael Jordan and his practicing regimen. And he was a very, very much believed in practicing. He practiced and practiced. It was even said that the stories were out of him practicing secretly at night while his teammates slept. And it has become somewhat of a legend in sports history. The stories highlight his intense work ethic and dedication to improve his skills. One famous account of this was when Jordan would sneak into the gym at the Berto Center, the training facility of the Chicago Bulls, in the middle of the night. And he would be out there practicing, middle of the night. He would practice his shooting and his footwork and other skills, often for hours, to refine his game and gain an edge over his competitors. Jordan's relentless pursuit of excellence set a high standard for professional athletes and inspired many to adopt a similar work ethic. Michael Jordan's practice regimen was notoriously intense and demanding. Jordan would practice for 5 to 6 hours a day, which included weightlifting, cardio exercise, and basketball drill. It is also said that he would practice after games. He would continue practicing until he had done another 500 shots. Another 500 baskets. Even after a game was over, he did not just stop when the game was over. He kept on practicing. And on the road during basketball season, the travel schedule is very intense. And many times they would take late night flights into another city, and they would arrive at their destination well after midnight. The teams would go to bed and get up maybe 7, 8 o'clock the next morning and gather down for breakfast, only to find Michael Jordan had been up since 5 a.m., either out running or doing other practices. This level of commitment and discipline contributed significantly to his success and status as one of the greatest basketball players of all times. And as I read this story, I was reminded of a life principle that applies to many areas of life. And that is the virtue of patience, endurance, and persevering. You see, the world that we live in with our modern technology is not very conducive to helping us grow in patience. At least I find that in my own life. I do not just naturally grow in patience. In a world where we have microwaves, high-speed internet, Amazon Prime, social media, messaging apps, YouTube, music streaming, Uber, DoorDash, and AI, it has become harder to be patient. Everything is right at our fingertips. We expect instant answers, instant responses, and quick delivery on almost any product or service known to man. Push a button, it'll be at your door in 2 days or sooner. On almost anything. And so this has not helped us in growing in patience. And as I have witnessed in my life, patience is a thing that grows and expands to other areas. If you become impatient in one area, you will tend to become impatient in many areas. It's kind of something that goes all through your life. It's not something that you can keep compartmentalized in only certain areas. And so we are told and we understand that with the digital age we live in, that our attention spans have become shorter, and we understand that, and sometimes we think, well, that's maybe the only area that is affecting, but we see that it affects many areas of our lives. And also, as I grow older, I've come to realize that many of the good and important things in life take time, and they are not something that is instant or overnight. Now, take anything on that, or some of the things on the list I said earlier. So such as a microwave. Is your best cooked meal made in a microwave? No. We would understand that's not right. But what you take time, you make it from scratch and you add all the different seasonings and different ingredients in, that is going to be your best meal. Is your best food brought to you by DoorDash? No. Is your best answer, especially in the spiritual life, brought to you by AI? And the answer is no. So the good things in life are not instant or overnight. Think about the following list and how they take patience, endurance, and perseverance in order to have a quality in any of these things. What about your marriage? What about dating? What about relationships in general? What about building a house? Or maybe losing weight or building muscle? Or what about child training or your devotional life? Or just your overall Bible knowledge? Or what about a community? Or habits? Or saving money? Or schooling? Or playing piano or any other instrument you choose to play? And the list goes on. Can you do any of those quickly and have quality at doing it? And I think it's fair to say no. All of those take time, they take patience, they take consistency, they take endurance, and they take persevering if you want to get good at them. So you could take the next 1 to 3 weeks off. Let's say you laid aside everything else. You laid aside your work, you had no other responsibilities, you took the next 3 weeks off. And I think about this, maybe we do it sort of like that when we go to Bible school. When you take the next 3 weeks off and you just focus on one thing, and you can get better if you focus only on one thing for 3 weeks, but you will never get as good as if you spend a little bit of time every day over a lifetime or over 5 years or 10 years. You could take piano practice for 3 weeks straight, and I'm pretty sure you would still not be as good as if you did a little bit every day for 3 years. It's that little bit every day and focusing on it. Again, back to patience, endurance, and persevering and practicing. You see, you can throw a bucket of water on a rock and it doesn't do anything to it. But if you let a drop of water fall onto the rock every day, it creates a hole in it. And so consistency beats intensity. You can get good at about anything if you are patient and consistent, such as Michael Jordan. He became a very good basketball player because of his consistency and his practice time and again. He did it and he did it and he did it and he never stopped all through his career. And he became very popular. Also, you tend to appreciate something you work for. If you put the work in and the energy in, you will appreciate it. If it's something that is instant, comes overnight, comes out of a microwave, there isn't a lot of appreciation for that. So many times in life, we need to step back and look at the long-term view, and often we need to embrace monotony. We need to be okay with this consistency day after day. And so this morning, I want to look a little bit more at patience. Or waiting on the Lord and patience. And this, the thought of patience that I want to look at this morning is not so much the thought of patience in the presence or being patient with other people. Now that is part of it, because if you're a patient person on a daily basis with those around you, you probably will be patient in the long term. But I want to think about the patience of a long-term view of your life, or where God's calling you, or you want to get better at something, or you want to be consistent at something. And the patience on waiting on the Lord, or waiting for things in your life to get better, or waiting just for things to improve. Many of you here this morning have children, and I mentioned it, child training. That takes patience. Yes, we need to have patience with our children every day, but we also need to have patience and realize that at some point in time, they will grow up. And if we keep doing and being consistent, I think we will press through, and we will see results. And it's more that the long-term mindset, patience patience for things that will come. The first section of my message is patience is necessary. My first point under that is patience brings spiritual growth and maturity. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. I want to read some verses here in James, and James talks about patience. I want to read verses 1 to 8 there in James 1. And I want us to think about our spiritual growth and our maturity. As I mentioned before, we can take 3 weeks off, go to Bible school, and we can gain some knowledge. And it's very good, very important to do that. But I do believe that our spiritual growth and maturity will not happen instantly. And it will not even happen in a 3 week period of time. But it happens over a lifetime, over day after day of being consistent and growing in the Lord and maturing in Him. James 1, verses 1 through 8. James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven in the wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We'll let off reading there. So here James says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So there's something about facing difficulties, things that test our patience, things that we do not have answers for, things that we cannot see the outcome of, somehow that helps us worketh patience, help us grow in patience. It's our waiting on the Lord. It's our spiritual growth. It's our maturity. Letting patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. There's something about the difficult things in life that if we expect and handle well, we become a better person, or as it even says here in verse 4, it says that we will become perfect, or we will become maybe good at it if we have patience, if we allow this patience to work in our life. Turn over to James chapter 5, and James goes on and continues talking about patience here in 5 verse 7. But patience, therefore, brethren, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. But be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest he be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have been seen, and have seen the end of the Lord, and the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So here we start out, we notice there in verse 7 that he talks about a husbandman, or basically a farmer, somebody who tends crops. And we have farmers here in our midst, and you know what it is to wait patiently. You plant the seed, or even if you do gardens, you plant the seeds, and then you wait for the rain, and you give it time until there will be, you wait for that precious fruit. And here it talks about waiting for the latter rain, or the early and latter rain. The early rain here in this setting was, it was the early rain that came in the fall that caused the seed to germinate, but it was the latter rain that came in the spring that would cause the seed to swell and grow and be ready for harvest. So what is James saying here? James is saying what any farmer needs to know is to practice, it takes patience to be a farmer. It's not something that happens in one day or in 3 days. Even if you put all your energy into trying to get a quick harvest, a farmer, anybody who's smart knows that it takes time. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. You could put all your energy into 3 kernels of corn for 3 weeks and you still wouldn't have a harvest. It takes endurance. It takes patience. We need to look at the long-term view, see what's coming ahead, or we know that it will come if we tend it and nurture it over time, and within a number of weeks, number of months, we will get a harvest. We can put the seeds in the ground, and then we need to wait. There is no instant harvest. And he goes on and he talks about that, and he uses this comparison, and he says that this is how we are to be. Going into verse 10 there, it says, talking about the prophets or people in the past, for an example of a suffering, affliction, and of patience. They waited it out. They knew that there was better things coming. They knew that a harvest was coming. And behold, we count them happy which endure. Because they endured, because they waited, there was joy. They had a long-term vision. They knew what was ahead. And so they could make it through the difficult time or a hardship that came into their life in that time being. You're going to get in trouble if you try to hurry the harvest. And you're also going to lose peace if you try to hurry the harvest. You see, as I studied this patience, there was a lot of connections that came in with peace that we have, especially when we look at the spiritual life. If we are patient, if we wait on the Lord, if we wait for Him and the future to come, we will be at peace. A truly patient person will be at peace with his current lot in life. In Psalms 27, verse 14, it says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Again, if we want to, we need to have patience if we want spiritual growth and maturity. The next point is patience helps us trust in God's sovereignty and timing. Now, these are very much linked together, but I did separate them out. Psalms 37, verse 7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." You see, we can be at peace this morning if we know and if we understand and if we accept that God is in control, that it is God's sovereign plan and His timing for our lives. The Lord, as providing you're not rebelling against the Lord this morning, the Lord has you where He wants you. And He will open doors and lead you if He wants you somewhere else. And let's rest in that. I know it can be easy for all of us, no matter what age we are, to question if this is where God wants us. I think it could maybe be a little bit easier for young people trying to find their way, wondering if this is where the Lord wants me. Does He want me to teach school? Does He want me to start dating? The list can go on. But let us also rest in that God is leading us, and God will bring things together. God is sovereign. God will bring things together into our lives. And I think the older you get, the more you have the ability to look back and you see some of those things that He brought together and you realize, well, that was the Lord's leading. That was God's timing. And So let patience helps us trust in God's sovereignty and God's timing. The next point is patience allows us to experience God's peace and comfort. And I talked about that a little bit. A verse here is Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will have a renewal of strength. There will be a comfort and peace in their lives. They will then not be weary, even though difficult things may come. If we patiently wait on the Lord, that brings peace, that brings comfort, and out of that, we will have this renewed strength that we shall walk and not faint. We shall get up again. We shall continue pressing forward. Just because we fall down one time, just because we could go back to Michael Jordan, just because in his practices he missed the hoop a few times, did not stop. He kept pressing on. He practiced and practiced 500 times a day. And how many of us quit after five tries and say, "Well, we're not cut out to do this"? The ones who become good at something are the ones who persevere and press through and just continue on and have that. They will have that. They have that patience to do so. There's that renewing of their strength, and it comes from accepting God's peace and comfort. Patience also requires trust and faith in God's goodness and love. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms 106, verse 13. Patience is when we trust. Well, true patience, yeah, let's just say it requires trust and faith in God's goodness. Patience, when it's put to the test, is very much when we do not know what is ahead. When we look at the things in the short term, we only see the here and now. I think all of us could do better with patience in some ways if we knew what tomorrow held. But there'd be a whole other set of problems with that. We'd then have more worry and anxiety. But sometimes it's because we become so short-sighted is when our patience is tested. So it requires this trust and faith in God's goodness and love. In Psalms 106, verse 13, and I want to read 13 through 15. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. So here was, this was, I believe, is a writing of David. And he was talking about the children of Israel and how they soon forgot his works and they waited not for his counsel. They pushed ahead without waiting on the Lord, without having patience and trust in God. And what happened? He sent leanness into their souls. There was a lack of connection, a lack of relationship with God because they did not have patience. They did not wait upon the Lord. They went their own way. And the same will happen in our own Christian lives. If we just push ahead and do what we think is right or not patiently wait, we will have this leanness of soul. Our spiritual life will grow weak with Christ. In Romans 8:25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for him. It's hoping for what we see not. Also Psalms 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Again, the opposite of waited not for counsel is wait on the Lord. And the opposite of the leanness in their souls is good courage and a strengthening in their heart. We will be strong. We can be victorious in many areas of our lives. The next point is patience is necessary for maturity, victory, and tranquility. What triggers your impatience this morning? We all have Well, we use this term, we all have our fuses. Some are shorter and some are longer, depending on the state of our heart and soul and the activities of a given day or our personality types or our past experiences. All of that has an effect on how patient we are. We may be an overall patient person, but the activities of the day compounded itself and we become impatient with our child at the end of the day or past experiences. Or we could be just an overall impatient person because we're not right before God, or our soul is not at rest and at peace with Him. And so we're very quick to flare up or become impatient with others. Regardless, as disciples of Jesus, we are called to a lifestyle that exhibits patience. What are some things we must remember regarding patience or long-suffering in our lives? Is it takes patience, trust, forbearance, and obedience that must be willingly applied by the power of the Holy Spirit over and over as we grow in the likeness of Christ. And so patience is necessary for maturity. If we want to be a mature person, and we're talking in our personality or especially in our spiritual life, maturity and victory, it takes patience. Somebody who is very impatient, very quick to fly off the handle and not be patient, we would not view them as being victorious. We would not view them as being a very mature Christian. We'd also not view them as being tranquil or at peace with where they are and where God has led them. See, the challenge in our life is that we need to continue to grow in these areas because patience is necessary to be a mature Christian. Endurance is not just the ability to bear a hard thing, but to turn it into glory. You see, we can be quiet, we can push through, we can have this perseverance or endurance. When hard things come, we can just, as they would say, get a stiff upper lip and just push through and make it through to the other side. And that's one way of doing it. The other thing is if we can actually turn it into glory or give the glory to God for what He is leading us through, what He is allowing in our life, and bring Him recognition for this. So I talked a good bit here about patience is necessary for a good many things. And you may ask yourself the question, as I did, I asked myself this question as I was studying for this sermon. So how can I follow after patience, or how can I grow in patience? As it says in 1 Timothy 6:11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." And I don't believe I have given the title for the message here yet this morning, but the title for my message is Follow After Patience. So how do I follow after patience? "But thou, O man of God, follow after this list of things, and one of them is patience." How can I become a more patient person? Because it can be somewhat difficult to just become more patient. How can I become more patient? Well, I'm going to take a look at a number of points here that I believe can help us to grow in our patience. And this will apply with patience, with our families, with our children, with our circumstances, and all other areas of our lives as well. So first of all, I think we need to focus on God's character and His promises. In Psalms 103, verse 8, it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." Who is God? Do you think He's an unloving God? Do you think He's trying to bring circumstances into our life that make it difficult to try our patience, to make us question who He is? The Lord is merciful. He's gracious. He Himself is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Focus on God and who He is. The second point is realize God's infinite patience with us. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter 3, verse 9. I only have one verse here that I want to pull out of this, but I want you to turn there so you can see it and read it. Realize God's infinite patience with us. The Lord is not, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is long-suffering to usward, or his long-suffering towards us. God has infinite patience with us. And out of that, if we focus on that, it should cause us to have more patience in our lives towards other people. Because when we look at what God has all done for us, also, if we want to be a patient person, another thing that goes hand in hand is forgiveness. Practice the discipline of forgiveness. God forgives us and lets us start over, and impatient erupts when we hang on to the past. You see, if we have unforgiveness in our life, if we're not forgiving others for where they have wronged us, maybe not even forgiving God for what he has led us through, we will be an impatient person. If we hang on to hurts and pains from the past, we will often erupt in impatience. So God forgives us, lets us start over. We need to forgive others as well and let those things behind and move on. Forgiveness needs to be part of our life. And so if you're struggling with impatience this morning, the one thing you could do is take a personal inventory of your life and say, is there unforgiveness somewhere? Have I not forgiven others as I should have? The next point is that we cultivate gratitude and contentment in the present moment. We're thankful for where we are and for the things that are around us. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be a thankful person, and out of thanksgiving will come patience. Be grateful for what you have and what is around you, the people who are near you right now. Just count your blessings and do that in a very physical way. Write them down. Create a gratitude journal or something. Start writing things down if you are struggling with contentment or if you're struggling with patience. And as you realize all the blessings that God has given to you and the many blessings he has, just the place and time of life that he has allowed you to live, it should help us to grow in patience. Also, extend the same grace you receive from God. Extend the grace, it goes hand in hand with what I said earlier, but extend the same grace you receive from God to others. When I remind myself that my entire life has been maybe two steps forward and one step backwards, or maybe it even sometimes is only one step forward and two steps backwards, and yet God loves me. God affirms who I am. He encourages me. He's okay. He continues to work with me. He leads me along. And even though I have tried his patience, I think if we are all honest with ourselves and with others here this morning, we would say that if somebody would do as good, if a friend of ours was acting as we have acted to God, we probably would become impatient with them. We'd say, why can't you get your act together and get better at it? Well, just think about your own life and what God has extended you and the patience he has given to you, the grace he's given to you as you failed in your Christian life, or you think you took two steps forward, but then you had a setback and you do it again. And we keep, because none of us are perfect and none of us are taking consistent steps forward. There's always some failures or something we're not doing as good at. And so let's extend the same grace to others as God has extended to us. We're not in heaven yet, and expecting our loved ones, coworkers, and strangers to live like we are is to set ourselves up for the poisonous anger that destroys us. If we expect perfection out of everyone else around us, we will become impatient, and it will test our patience. It does that with our children. It does that with our friends. It does that with our coworkers. So stop and extend the grace that God has extended to you to others. The next point is to accept discomfort. Do not entertain immature or unrealistic expectations. They wreck your life. If you want your life back, get rid of the fantasies that are in your life. Or the, when I say fantasies, is the unrealistic expectations of what life should look at. Accept discomfort. We live in a fallen world. Things are not perfect. Things are not going to work out perfectly, whether it's plans, whether it's things in your home or your life that break, that fall apart. We live in a fallen world and we need to accept it. And I think the sooner we accept that, the more we will grow in our patience. Because oftentimes in life, there is what happens is we have these expectations and then there's reality. And time and again, we have our expectations higher than we have reality. And it's that gap in there that makes us impatient or makes us discontent with our lot in life. So if we help to bring our expectations down to where actual reality is, I think we will accept discomfort. We will grow in patience if we're not always having this gap between our reality and our expectations. Right along with that, the next point is think about yourself less. Our human nature is never satisfied. When we think about ourselves, what we want, what we like, and how we feel, it will wreck our gratitude, which in return steals our patience. You see, I think the real, in my own life, what really steals my patience is when I think about myself. When myself gets in the way, because I want it now, and I want people to do what I want them to do now. I want my children to behave now. I want my friends to come to my aid now. The list goes on, but think about ourselves less and think about others more, because if we think about ourselves and only ourselves, it will takes away our gratitude and it steals our patience. Happy he who learns to bear what he cannot change. Think about God more and people less. Just right along with that, learn to suffer all that happens to you and even confusion, but learn to do so out of only one motivation, a love for God. No matter what comes, we are serving God, or we're doing it out of a love for God. We're taking steps forward because we love God. And last of all, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this point may sort of be all-encompassing of the points I said before, but the point is that love grows patience. And it can be a love for God, it can be a love for your family, it can be a love for fellow men. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. Charity, or love, suffereth long, or you could say is patient, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I'm going to stop reading there. The main point there is in verse 4, charity suffereth long, or charity is patient. And it goes on to say all the other things that come along with love. So if we have love, we can grow our patience. Love for our families, love for strangers, love for God's plan for your life, love for your current surroundings, love for what God has done for you. It will grow our patience if we focus on love, loving others, loving God. Patience and perseverance have a magical effect before which difficulties disappear and obstacles vanish. So my challenge for each of us this morning is to continue to persevere continue to push ahead in God's plan, and also have patience for where he's leading you, what he has led you through, what he has allowed in your life, patience for those around us. And in doing that, we will become this more of a mature Christian, a Christian who is right before Christ. You see, it takes practice. And I could have talked more about our own personal devotions. Devotional life is something that takes practice, or it's an everyday occurrence. Back to the thing, you could do Bible study for 3 weeks straight, but there is something that comes out of Bible knowledge if we do it every day. It helps us to grow in this maturity. We get better at it. We become more knowledgeable in these things. And so as we grow in our lives, let's have this patience. Let's grow in patience, and let's follow after patience. Let's kneel together for a word of prayer.